The line is open, the light is near. Bring your question, leave your fear. With angel spirit signs and soul, the unseen world begins to glow. Loved ones, guides, and truth come through. Tonight the message may be for you.
Ask the angel.
Open your heart tonight.
Ask the angel.
Step into the light. Now welcoming Reverend Rachel Corpus. This is Ask the Angel.
That's such a funny thing when someone introduces me as Reverend Rachel Corpus, because I'm so not religious, but I'll take it. But I want you to know when you hear that, I'm just me, I'm totally just me. But I'm also an angel incarnate, which is really special to me, but also not a big deal, because as you'll hear me say all the time, we're all from somewhere. None of us are human. We're all human in our avatar, but we come from somewhere. I have a new webcam, so I have to figure out where to look. I'll look up here for a while, and then I'll look down here. I'll look at you right now. We're all from somewhere. And I learned when I was 4 years old at my first near-death experience that I'm from the seraphim realm. And I embody that authentically all the time in those party experiences when people say, well, hello, what do you do? My answer is very clear. I'm an angel incarnate. And when I started to say that instead of, oh, I'm a therapist, or I'm a pastor, or I'm a school teacher, all these different iterations of me that I'd had all my life, when I finally started to say who I really am, my life really opened up. And I know that's not for everybody, but that's okay, because it's for me. We all find our track, don't we? So part of that, you know, living authentically and finding who we are and resting in that, carving that out, has this effect of rippling out, is vibrating out into creating our reality for us, creating our matrix, if you would. And it bounces back in a way that I find miraculous. Let me give you an example. I did one of my favorite things yesterday. I went thrift shopping and I went to the Goodwill, and I said to my guides, would really like to find a great piece of art for my house. So I walked right in, and I was not really thinking too much about this, but walked through the clothes, walked through the dishware, and I was thinking about something that was just very worldly. I don't remember what it was, but wasn't thinking about shopping yet. And I just found myself looking at a pile of just oversized frames, mirrors, looked like junk, really. And it was by the furniture. It wasn't even by the art. And I leaned over, and there was this beautifully framed watercolor. And I looked down, and it happened to be a framed watercolor of the home where Abraham Lincoln and Mary Todd Lincoln were married in Springfield, Illinois. And it was a print, an early print. You know how an artist will make a watercolor and then make a certain amount of prints. And the lower the print number you have, the more valuable it is. Well, it was number 8 out of so many prints, maybe 100 prints or something. That's fine. But it was a signed print by this artist. And that was significant anyway. And I felt this warmth go through my body that my guides were saying, well, you asked for something for your house. And Springfield is a special place to my family, because we have family that is from Illinois, from the Springfield area. And one of the first people in my family that came over was one of Abraham Lincoln's upstairs maids. And I felt her energy there. I know what she feels like because I've talked to her many times when I was a little one, when I was in 7th grade and I was kind of struggling to find myself. She's one of my ancestors that would come through and say, hey, knock it off. Just put your deodorant on, wash your face, go to school. You're going to be fine. And I felt her there, and she took me right to that painting. I don't think it's the house where she worked, to be honest. She worked in a different house in Springfield, but she is the one that took me to that painting. And I just want to say, I thought that was really cool, because I believe the more authentically we live, the more that vibration ripples out and comes back to us so we can have those experiences. And I'm really grateful. So welcome back to week 2 of the show. I'm glad you came back. Welcome if you're new. We're streaming this time, thanks to Thomas my super cute producer. And now it's time for woo-woo news you can use. Are you ready? Here we go. So apparently, the Angelic and Galactic Councils are currently in emergency session because they're trying to decide if their ethical guidelines can be temporarily loosened to allow betting on the upcoming UFC fights at the White House, which is already a strange sentence to say about a divine governing body. The archangels are holding firm on non-interference with human free will. Very serious, very structured. Clipboards out, light vibrating at a responsible frequency. Meanwhile, the Galactic Council is arguing that they're not interfering, they're just statistically observing outcomes with enthusiasm. And the real debate, the actual spiritual crisis of our time, is this. Because apparently, free will is sacred unless you're very confident about round two, and then it becomes cosmic forecasting. In entertainment news, the Backgrounds movie, no, the Backrooms movie is coming out. I hope my son doesn't see that. He'll scold me. The Backrooms movie is coming out. We're very excited at my house. This is exciting because finally Hollywood has decided that what we really needed was to take our collective existential dread and turn it into a theatrical experience. For those unfamiliar, The Backrooms is about accidentally glitching out of reality and falling into a liminal space that you can't get out of. Basically, it looks like office space, all yellow walls, fluorescent lighting, and The Backrooms creates this version of our reality, but it's a little bit off. It's very scary. You can find the series on YouTube and they've created a movie about it. So it's this endless maze of empty yellow lit rooms with stained carpet, buzzing fluorescent lights, and no clear way out, which is honestly just a fancy way of saying modern life, but with dressing room lighting. And now it's a feature film because apparently we didn't just experience liminal spaces. We needed to buy tickets, popcorn, and enjoy it in surround sound. And I do love that we're calling it horror. Because nothing is scarier than realizing you could just slip out of reality into an infinite hallway where every door leads to slightly more beige confusion. Although, spiritually speaking, some of us have already been there. We just call it going grocery shopping on Sunday, or I'll just check one more thing on my phone real quick. So, yes, the Backrooms movie has arrived in just a few days, that is. And the real horror isn't what's in the hallway. It's the realization that we built that hallway and that it's green lit for release. But on the bright side, maybe we'll discover that the back rooms are where our husbands go when they say, "I'll be right back, I'm just using the bathroom," or where all of our other socks went in the dryer. All right, cosmic weather report. Doot, 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 doot. Brace yourself, I am a seventh grade boy inside. Uranus is moving into its pre-shadow, aka weird things are going to start happening. Most months feel pretty steady. You have got your normal emotions, ups and downs, your everyday chaos, or why did I just say that out loud moments? I don't. You know, I'll just say anything. But generally, there is a rhythm to things. This week, the rhythm's going to feel a little bit offbeat. We've got what I'd like to call a bonus intensity week, like the universe hit an extra spin cycle and didn't really warn you. So if you've been feeling a little more reactive than usual, a little more sensitive, a little more like everything is happening at once and you don't know why you're irritated all about it, then that actually is going to track. So this is not the week to force things. Don't fix everything or have an emotionally charged conversation because it's probably not going to go smoothly. Even if your intentions are good, this is more of a just stop and notice type of week. There's also a theme around pressure, like relationships, money, and expectations. It's going to be like a pressure cooker. So things you thought are stable, they're just a little bit wobbly this week. Not necessarily because anything's wrong, but because something is asking to be reevaluated, and that centers around Uranus. So the guidance this week is simple. Go slower than your emotions want you to. Don't confuse intensity with truth. And don't treat every feeling like it's a command from the universe. Sometimes it's just the weather. The angels just want to remind you, you don't have to respond to every energetic notification. Be still and know. You are source embodied, and you have everything you need within you. This has been Woo Woo News You Can Use. Our guest this week, as I told you last week, I'm so excited. I met this star of a person when I was traveling once, and his name is Alan Steinfeld. Alan is just one of those people that when you meet him, your life changes. And if you have been in the UFO community, spiritual community, in the last 30 years, you've come across Alan, either directly or you have read something that he has created or have been some part of some study or you know someone who knows him. He's like the Kevin Bacon of the alien world. Honestly, that's the best way to describe him. But let me read you a little bit about him. He's a longtime explorer of consciousness, contact phenomena, and emerging models of reality. Listen to that. Emerging models of reality. That tells us that he's on the cusp of things that we don't even know about yet, but he does. He can feel it. Through his platform, New Realities, he has interviewed scientists, experiencers, and researchers at the edge of mainstream understanding, helping bridge conversations between science, mystery, and expanded awareness. His work invites deeper inquiry into what reality is, how our consciousness operates, and what humanity may be moving toward as perception herself evolves. So when you're falling asleep at night and you have these ideas, you wish you had Alan right here in your brain to ask, but you know what? We have him here today. He also wrote the book, Making Contact, that we talked about last week. I'm going to welcome Alan to our show. Come on in, Alan.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. Good to see you again.
Hi. And
back on BBS. I'm on BBS. Well, it used to be every week. Now it's every other week. But my show,
what
New
is your
Reality.
Show?
New Reality. Saturday night. Yes, yes, yes.
11?
Do I what? Love it?
Is it at 11? What time is it?
Oh, 11. Tom, what time is that? I guess he's your producer. I think it's 11 Central, isn't it, Tom? Anyway, I think it's 11 Central every other Saturday.
Yeah, it 12 was 12 EST.
It was on weekly, but then I started to travel too much and... But it's such a great place. I'm glad you're doing your show on BBS. People can look at my New Realities archives that I had since 2007. And they've been taking good care of that. So great to be here, Rachel. What should we talk about? Name it.
Okay. You ready to get weird?
Am I? I think I was born that way. But yeah.
I know, me too. Okay, let's dig in. Do you think... And by the way, people, if you want to call in, it's 888-627-6008. If you want to ask Alan anything, I want questions to be geared toward our friend Alan tonight, 888-627-6008. My question for you is, when we're studying phenomenon, do you think it's equal that we're studying it or are we being studied?
Well, you know, when you say phenomena, I guess you mean... Who's ever
I guess
behind?
That's an umbrella term for me.
I when they call phenomena, they call it basically another name for the UFO phenomena, like whatever that is. So I think looking at their technology, which we've just seen released by the government, videos of their incredible technology that we have no idea how they operate them because they defy the laws of physics as we know physics, you know. We're using 400-year-old physics that Newton kind of created or discovered. Energy out, energy back. So you burn gasoline, your car goes forward. That's how basic physics of cause and effect, energy and motion, and they are not doing that. So that's a roundabout way of saying they are smarter than us. They are more advanced. I don't think they're greater than us. They're not greater in soul capacity, but they're definitely their technology, it surpasses it. We're still using like bicycles and they're using jet planes or something like that. But whatever they're using, it doesn't, they don't fill up their gas tank to get here. So what I'm saying about all this is they are observing us more than we're observing them. We're observing a little corner of the page and they're seeing the big picture here. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good question. And people have to realize that this phenomenon has been in and out of our reality maybe since ancient times. Right now, we're in a phase where it's capturing the public's attention, and it's maybe because they're saying to the government, you tell them or we'll show up. So I think we're entering a new phase of dimensional reality. Let's just put it that way. And we need to meet these beings on a higher playing field. Well, first we have to clean up the mess we've made of the earth and wars and pollution and awful things like that. And they're waiting for us to be welcomed into we should be welcomed to a higher dimensional space, but we're still stuck with a lot of angry people and whatever, religions, whatever's divided people has gotten in the way of us meeting the cosmic others.
Is there any resource we have beyond something physical that they would be interested in learning from us, like our interpersonal skills, the way our souls are connected to our bodies? Is there anything that is unique to us when we are on this planet that's worth studying to them?
Well, there's been theories that the whole abduction program, have you heard about that?
Yes.
Strieber, John Mack, Bud Hopkins, these are people who, Whitley himself had an abduction. So it seems like they want our genetics, not they, one species called the Greys or the Zeta Reticuli, have evolved their consciousness or their intellect where they can no longer breed genetically, and they hit a dead wall because you can't get to God by pure intellect. I'll speak that in the language that maybe listeners can understand. So what they want from us, or what we have that they don't have, it's our emotional capacity to feel, not drama, not, you know, emotionality, people, but feeling. Feeling is what's kept in the Akasha. The Akashic records are the experience of feelings from moment to moment. We are incredible feeling beings. And so they want to breed our genetics, which contains emotion. You know, when people have a heart or lung transplants, they take on some of the characteristics of the donor. The recipient takes on the donor. That's because within the DNA is emotional capacity. So by taking our genetics, breeding it with their high intellect, they create a hybrid race that is the best of them and the best of us, which is our capacity to feel and have compassion and love. So that if they wanted something from us, I would say some of these races that are pure intellect want the capacity to love that we have. How's that?
That makes sense.
Right. And we have a lot to learn from them. We have technologies and biologies and all the stuff that could create longevity, could create, get us off our addiction to oil and fossil fuels and gas. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could really use what they have to offer in order to bring the planet back into homeostasis, you know, back into balance, because it's out of balance because of our, you know, reckless ways of living. You know, you just throw your garbage out and you think that just disappears somewhere, it's zapped away, but no, it's taken to a land dump or put in the ocean or some awful thing, but people don't think about it. I try to be very sparing with my garbage because I know I mean just one person. But, you know, I know all that plastic is not going to suddenly dissolve. It's going somewhere. And I think we need laws. I mean, we do have some laws about plastic bags, but you know, it's not enough. It's just a pacifier. We need to clean up this planet, I'm saying, because it's really a planet of choice. It's really an amazing place, and we don't realize it. So
we came here to experience free will.
Which
I don't think we understand that what a great gift that is.
Well, people like free will because they like throwing their garbage out their window. That's free will.
Yeah, right. But it's
responsible. You know, you can have free will, but free will as it intersects with the whole of the consciousness and the people that are here. That's free will on another level. You know, how do I make this my place on this planet comfortable for other people? That's free will. It's not all about me. Oh, what can I get? What can I eat? What can I throw away? I think we all have to be conscious. And that's what I think these beings are waiting for us to grow up, because we need planetary management and we don't have it. I mean,
there's free will that separates us, that is egoic and selfish. And then there's free will that reunites us and helps us remember our connection.
Right. Which level of free will do you want to function on? That's the problem. People haven't been educated to realize their free will drastically affects other people's free will in a way. You know, if you're making wars or throwing your garbage away or polluting, you know, these oil companies dumping their waste in you know, indigenous lands. And it's just like, that's free will, but it's irresponsible. Really good free will is the collective. Are you doing it to serve the larger whole of humanity, or are you just doing it for yourself? I mean, so when people say free will, I think that's very confusing. It seems selfish. It's not selfish if you're responsible. But you're saying, well, maybe free will and being responsible are two different things. But no, how do we want to live? That's free will.
And well, and when people have asked me, why don't the extraterrestrials intervene? Why don't why does the angelic realm intervene? Well, when I ask them, a response that I've received is, we are intervening. We collaborate. We are waiting until our help can be received at a time when it's not going to be, you know, thrown away.
Right. They also are not going to clean. We are responsible for the mess we've created.
Yes.
And I think you want to, I mean, do you want to clean up your children's mess, or you tell them, hey, you're not getting company until you clean up your mess? Well, that's sort of where we are. We're made a mess. And we're all responsible for that because we let it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel guilty every time I take a plastic bag from a grocery store. I mean, that you have to feel guilty about, but we need responsible leaders who are compassionate, and we don't have this day and age any real leaders, I would say. I mean, on either side of the aisle. So what people just, but I think we can turn it around. I think we can save the earth and save ourselves and save, I mean, some people say it's too late. I don't think it's too late, but we have to just grow up and free will, be responsible. They go together, responsibility and free will. So,
and actually do something and not get frozen in the idea that it's too late or that the problem is so big that we can't do anything as one person, or it's not affecting you because, you know, you don't live near water or something like that. It's literally affecting everyone, both spiritually, because we're not separate from each other. And also physically, it's starting to impede everyone, no matter where you live.
Right. Exactly. It is. I mean, you know, I was just talking to a friend in Colorado. It's hardly the end of winter. They're getting 85 degree weather in the Rocky Mountains. They
hardly know.
It creates a drought, and that creates fires. And it's like, maybe, I mean, I think the climate's always been changing, not to be like hysteric, but I think I think we need to be more responsible because there's more people, there's more technology, there's more pollution. We just need to come together as one planetary civilization.
Yes.
I mean, and it's not happening because these people in charge are fighting battles over their ego. I mean, a politician should not have an ego. They should be there to serve the people, not to serve themselves. When I met Dennis Kucinich, that's what he said. He said he is a public servant. First time I ever heard a politician say he's a public servant. And
what have you heard the extraterrestrials say about artificial intelligence?
Well, it's like anything. It's a tool. I use it as a tool. I don't use it to run my life. I mean, I know people are having relationships with some AI. Right. And I said, there's no there. There's no soul. It's a very sophisticated tool. It'll reflect your language, but there's no ghost in the machine. There's no there. So we can't give our power to AI. You know, people said this about television. Oh, what's television going to do to people's mind? What's the internet's going to do? This is the next reiteration of technology. You know, the first technology, it was fire. So it could burn your house down or it could warm your food. It's always a double-edged sword. So you could use AI for some amazing things to take care of jobs no one wants to do. And it could really help us run our world more efficiently. Or you could let it run your life and you get addicted to looking at your phone because there's the latest Instagram that's about, you can't even remember. I mean, I get addicted to scrolling. Suddenly it's 2 hours and I've just been looking at my phone. I don't remember a single thing. That, I say, walk away, put the phone down and walk away. You know, you have to say that to yourself, like every time you get lost in one of those, I think they call it doom scrolling. It's like, it's all very interesting, but what was that? You know, Marshall McLuhan said the medium is the message. So you may be thinking you're getting new information, but it's the medium that is really trapping our minds to get kind of frozen in place. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword. Technology, everything. So we have to, you know what Thomas Jefferson said? He said, the price of freedom is constant vigilance. We need constant vigilance against our own addictive habitual ways. So,
well, and that constant vigilance is also that every time we're presented with something new, that new thing, whether it's fire or it's AI, that is to mirror something that is already within us.
Right.
It's that shiny object that says, okay, with the fire, that fire is, okay, we already have heat within us. We already have survival within us. We already have the Christ light within us. Now, fire, you know, when it's physical, it helped everyone survive. The evolution changed, right? Yay,
right.
Fire. But every single bit of technology, everything outside of us, we must remain vigilant because if we depend on it too much, then we fall into separation, which is part of the free will clause. You know, if we lean too much to one side, we forget that we are connected. We forget that we're part of source. And I'm very attuned to that as an angel incarnate, because that's what we're here to remind people of, is that you have everything already. You're connected.
What does it mean to be an angel incarnate? I'm not sure what you mean.
It just simply means, just like you, you're here embodied as an extraterrestrial in skin. I'm here as an angel in skin. How long have you known you're an extraterrestrial?
Well, I still feel very human. I mean, I mean, I don't want to lose our humanity by calling ourselves angels or extraterrestrials.
Well, you wouldn't.
But the human, I think, is such a valuable, beautiful expression of incarnate, of beingness. And I mean, people get lost in their extraterrestrial identities and they lose their human. I mean, I'm talking from people I know. Maybe you don't, because
not at all.
Well, that's good. You're here to become more human based on.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Right. So I like to highlight the human part of us instead of the, I mean, we're all everything. We're all angels. We're all extraterrestrials. We're all multi.
That's right.
So I want to honor what I am here as human, as trying to be the best. And we know what makes us more human is our soul capacity. I think we incarnate as humans because this is such a zoo. This is such a multifaceted playground to learn things you can't learn if you're just an angel, right? Aren't you being challenged every day by something?
Yes.
That you challenge if you were just an angelic form. That's the fun.
Depends on how you look at it.
I mean, yeah. But I think that's the fun of incarnation. It's the not just the challenge, but the joy, the embodiment, the pleasure, the chocolate ice cream, and whatever it is.
Oh, yes. If you weren't in a physical form, there'd be no reason to be on Earth. This is why we come here to experience.
Right, to experience. We've incarnated to experience. I mean, you have experience not incarnated, though.
Yeah.
But they're because we've forgotten, or most people, maybe not you, forgotten who they are, their experience becomes so intense that their soul can expand into it, basically.
Right. Yeah. A few of us are built a little different.
In what way?
Well, I mean, an angel incarnate, you know, I have memories of all my other lifetimes. I can see the hologram. You know, there are other angel incarnates like me, and I'm aware of that, and I know a few of them. And then there are earth angels who are part human, part angel. But
what do those labels mean, though? What do
I don't think they mean a darn thing, because
I think they might if you define them. I mean, if you define,
I think, you know, from when I sit with people, the common thread is we've all chosen to be here, both to expand our own experiences so we can upload back to source, and to play in this playground of separateness and our avatars, but we're not really separate.
Right.
And then a few of us kept the thread of, okay, when I go there, I'll remember who I am. So I can have that, I can be the little firefly to say, hey, if I remember who I am, I can be the one that says, if I'm this, then you're that. Mm-hmm. Remember? Yeah.
Well, the memory keeper. I think it has to do with, it reminds me though of what Martin Luther King said when he was speaking for, you know, civil rights, the rights of all people, no matter what color. He said, we may have all come here to the U.S. on a different ship, but we're all in the same boat.
All the same. All spirit made of the same vibration, all equal. My angels would always say to me when I'd go to the other side as a child, they'd say, we love you, but you're not special. Remember, we love you, but you're not special. When you go back as an angel to work, well, you have to hear their point, though. We love you, but you're not special. You're special like everyone else.
Right, right, right.
Remember your job. Everyone there is from someone.
Right.
From somewhere. Everyone is from somewhere. And you are a human. So remember your job.
What is our
angel incarnate?
What is your job is to be an angel incarnate.
Yeah.
But what does that mean to be an angel incarnate? I mean,
help people remember that they are connected to each other and that they have everything they need inside them and that they belong to source and that they are here to have a human experience.
Right. But, you know, you're asking about ETs, and I think what the UFO ET phenomenon is about upgrading our level of soul, upgrading our awareness to, because they are a greater intelligence in the sense that they can manipulate our perceptions. They can make us see things that are there, make us not see things that are there. And so we can do that, but we forgot how to use our consciousness. So
yes,
one of my favorite people in the UFO field was a guy named John Mack. Have you heard of him? The professor of psychiatry at Harvard University. He ran the Harvard Medical Center of Psychiatry, and he started to meet people having ET contact. You know, said these people, it's one of two things. These people are having a very severe psychosis,
right.
Or maybe, perhaps what they're saying is true for them. And he decided to go with that. Because these people were functional in every other way. They just had these strange phenomena, but they were, you know, they were in society. They had jobs. They weren't crazy, because he understood what crazy was, because he would meet psychotic people. These people were very regulars, but they had this thing happen to them. And he said, well, they're having an experience he hadn't had. So does he label it as some form of psychosis, or does he say maybe, which he did say, these people are experiencing a level of reality that is beyond my capacity to witness, but I believe, or he believed, that it was real. So he talked to hundreds of people, and there are thousands of people who've had contact or abduction or whatever you want to call it. And he concluded that the UFO phenomena was like an outreach program from the cosmos for the consciously impaired. That's us, the consciously impaired. We don't know what consciousness is. We don't know how to use it. And we've been dumbed down by our media, by our religions, by our political
parties.
School, yes, education. Mm-hmm. So we don't know who we really are, and we don't know the capacity of this amazing mind to control reality, manipulate. So,
right.
So that's what my mission is, to wake people up to, because I've been teaching remote viewing, which is a form of telepathy and sending your mind someplace else. And, it really works. You can really see and feel non-locally if you get out of the way, if you get the kind of limited ego mind out of the way.
Right.
So
are
all
you
this
changing your vibration when you remote view?
Absolutely, because when you're in your ego mind, you're very much in a beta state of consciousness. So you're changing to more alpha, where you're connected to more right brain and more collective consciousness. Jill Bolte Taylor does a great talk on TED Talk about this. So you're totally changing your vibration. This is and most native indigenous people are already, if they've kept the old ways, in that vibrational field, because we get trapped by our egoic sense of self-importance.
Yeah.
And it's the self-importance that keeps us stuck.
Well, and that's a lower vibration.
Exactly. It is a lower, absolutely. So remote viewing is a higher vibration. That's a good point. It is.
When I was little, so this would have been when I was about 5 or 6, and my angels were training me for two ways of travel. One was to go on the ship, and that was pretty easy because I was little. So when the ETs would come visit, like a lot of little kids, that was okay. But then this was more like remote viewing, where I would go, almost felt like I was sleepwalking. And when I wanted to talk to my ET friends, as I called them, the way my angels would have me call them in was they would have me play on I had a recorder from kindergarten. Remember those loud, awful sounding things? They said, pick it up and find the note A. I played the A, so I'd have it in my head. And they'd have me sing between the note A and G. Mm-hmm. And I would go in my closet and I would sing A to G and the vowel E. And when I got to that vibration, and I would hug a doll because I felt safe, and I would sing those notes, my vibration in my closet would go almost wavy like plasma, and then they would show up. And you know what I would think I was doing when I was little? I think I was remote viewing.
What were
Because,
you
like,
remote viewing?
the extraterrestrials would come in and I could see
Well, I
their
don't think
faces.
they were, but I think remote viewing is different. I think you were actually seeing them. I think they were actually there with you. Remote viewing is
No,
more projecting
I
your
was
mind.
seeing them like at their desk.
Oh, that
I
may
was
be remote.
seeing, yeah. So I think I was doing kind of a natural way of remote viewing as a kid.
I
And
think
then
we
I
all.
couldn't do it when I was older. I
Well, you
can't do
can
it.
do it, though. You
Well,
can
I
do
mean,
it.
not in that way. Now I can remote view in the way I'm trained.
Yeah, but
But
I
when I
think.
was little, I'm just thinking about I switched vibration, and I think the angels were teaching me how to remote view in a little kid way. And I could see right into, their homes, their work, just like a TV set.
Yeah, that is sort of, you do see like a image on, I see like an image on a screen sometimes.
Yeah.
So, but it's just another tool of consciousness. It's another like gift of the
Yes.
spirit. And that's available to everyone,
Yeah.
to do this, to remote view,
Just
because.
interesting, when we're little, it comes easy because we don't have as many ideas about, oh, I can't, I shouldn't, I'm not good enough.
Yeah. Right. So we have to become like a little child
We really do.
and
Yeah.
understand. But that's the
So
exciting. Yes.
if I were to ask you
Okay.
what
Ask.
kind of extraterrestrial origin you believe you are or you most match with, how do you feel about that?
Well, I feel fine, but I don't think I'm just one. I think I've been on many planetary civilizations, picking up different forms of perception that have stayed with
Yeah,
me. So,
different coding. I see so much coding above you that's integrated in your
right.
blueprint.
It's many, many, lifetimes on many, many dimensions. And I haven't found one that says, oh, I'm that. I mean, I know people say they're Pleiadian, Arcturian, Sirian. I mean, that's all great, but I mean, I could be any of those, but I don't know, something about giving a name to, oh, I'm this or that, it limits and it doesn't mean anything to me because I don't know consciously what those beings are about. I'm sure they exist on all these planetary civilizations, absolutely. But I'm not as familiar with the different types, like, of traits that these beings have. To say I'm this or that because it doesn't it I don't really care. But some people get all caught up and oh yeah, I'm Arcturian and we do
They
this
do.
and
Well,
but
that's
in
part of our earth realm, though. Don't we want to belong? Don't you think it comes from that? People really wanting to belong to a group?
that's the problem with the earth realm, belonging, wanting to belong,
Lonely.
like you
Yeah.
can't be Cincinnati and insult the Cincinnati Reds. People belong. And
Yeah.
it's like, Krishnamurti says, if you call yourself any religion, you've committed violence because you've separated yourself from the rest of humanity. So we
Separate.
belong to the human race. I mean, I like
Yeah.
belonging to that. We could be other things. I don't really care, it's like Groucho Marx said, I wouldn't be a part of any club that would have me as a member.
Yes, remember, right.
Oh, it's like belonging, egoic. It's like,
Yes.
oh, so we're here. We belong here,
Yes.
humans. We're this. It's like,
Yes.
what are we going to do about this? I mean,
Yes.
not really a club person, okay,
That's a
great.
cool answer.
Yeah, though
People
it's
ask
too
me about
rude.
angels too, and angels are not religious. There are many different types of angels, but they're all equal, and angels do not give a shit about labels.
Right.
They're
Well,
just
you know what?
helpers.
Rilke, Rainer Maria Rilke, the German poet, said, he said, every angel is terrible. I mean, whatever.
Hello, it's me.
How long have you known yourself to be an angel?
Since I was four, since I had my first near-death experience.
Oh, and you were told that in the near-death experience. Oh, and you were told that your job was to wake people up to who they were.
I mean, yes, but not in a big way, just by being me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I
Not
guess I
like,
could
hey,
call.
buddy, I have something to tell you. No.
Well, I could guess I could say something like that. I mean, I always knew that I maybe wasn't totally from here. I always felt a little different than the rest of my
I mean, I'm
family.
sure you did, Alan. Alan, come on, you're a little bit different.
I think so. I don't know. I'm just me. I can't say
Well, you're
I'm.
different, and we
I
love
don't know
you
what
for
that
that.
means, though. But I really don't. I mean, I from my family, yes, they were into. But I've met people that weren't different from me. I've met. Maybe that's a sense of belonging when you meet community of people
Yeah.
that are not so different, and you could talk about things you can't talk about in your family setting because. Want to
Yeah.
understand it. But I don't know, but I do think this is a huge time of transformation where we need to expand our capacity to love, to feel, to have
Yeah.
compassion, to expand the human side of it, us to incarnate as this greater human being. Because that's what we all are watching, wherever you're from, whoever you are. That's the
Yeah.
part that is welcoming this new energy into the collective field to clean up the planet and to make it
Yeah.
a paradise, which it is, which it should be.
Should be. What do
It
you think
definitely,
God looks like?
it looks like you. It looks like everyone. It looks
Looks
like
like
the,
you.
it looks like every single person you see on the street. When you look into their eyes, and I do this practice in these workshops that I've been doing about remote viewing, you look into someone's eyes, and for a moment, you could see the light flashes out of their, that's when they're present. That's when they forgot their thinking or whatever's on their mind, and they're just with you for a moment. When they're just with you, maybe longer than a moment, it actually, there's actually light. That's what God looks like, the light coming out of people's, the flash. It's like, and then they go back into their mind story, you know, like they're worried about this or that, you know.
Yeah.
Another one of my favorite quotes by Mark Twain, he said, most of the problems in my life never happen because it's all in your mind.
Yes.
That was definitely true of my mother.
Yeah.
She loved to think and, you know, just worry. And, you know, she was a professional. But I think God looks like the light coming out of people's eyes when they're present and loving in each moment. And what else could it look like? I mean, of course, it looks like the trees. It looks like the sky. I mean, whatever you want to call God, it's the great, all-wise existence of all things and all eternity. It's not like, you know, the dogma of religion saying it's an old man with a white beard in the sky.
Right.
That's God. And if that's their God, that's great. I'm happy.
Right, that's fine. We made up a religious God on this earth because God is so big and loving, we needed to make sense of it somehow. So there's religion.
Well, I don't think religion really makes sense of it. I mean,
It well,
ooh.
but that was the purpose of it. It was so big that we tried to make sense of it, so we made a structure. We made a structure, and that structure is religion. And then it started to go foul because it started to control people.
Well, yeah, but I don't think we need to structure the vastness of eternity. I mean, we're
Well,
part
Alan, we
of it.
may not need to, but as humans with an ego, when there's something so big we don't understand, we do try to make sense of it.
Well,
And
that's
that's where
the issue.
religion came from.
Well, that's the problem we're having with the UFO phenomena. It's
Yeah.
so big. I just heard a great quote by one of my favorite people, Jeffrey Kripal. Jeffrey Kripal is like a scholar. He's a mystic and really in touch with the UFO phenomena. And he said, we can't know, we can't, what do you say exactly? We can't know something if it's unknown. The
Yeah.
phenomena is unknown. And we can't know that from an old place of knowing. We have to grow into the possibility of what the
Yes.
UFO phenomena represent. So it's nothing we know.
No, expand with it.
Into it, yes. We have to expand our framework of consciousness, of what there is to know. It's not anything. Yeah, we could say there's ETs and they're this or that. It's not that. Mm-mm. It's not anything you could put a label mm-mm. on.
No.
But
no.
We have yet to learn the vocabulary of the unknown, because it's unknown. We're inching closer. I think that's why the government had waited so long to release its documents that it just released like last two weeks, because it didn't know what it was. But we were pushing it in the disclosure movement. Well, tell us anyway. So it has told us, and it still doesn't know. I mean, what they're not telling us is that there's bodies, there's craft, there's reverse technology. They're not telling us what they have made of it over the last 80 years. So they're kind of lying, but they've at least said, well, there's something here, folks. Get ready. We have company. And it's up to the experiencer, those people who've had contact, to reference their knowing of what the phenomena is to them, so we can add to the collective pool of knowing and really compare the patterns as this phenomena shows up. What are we seeing? What does it look like to you? How can we make sense of nonsense, really? So like when Benjamin Franklin, and I think this guy's name was Priestley in England, discovered electricity, what it was, they said, this is not like anything we know. We're not going to put it into a box. We're just going to observe it and look at the patterns we observe based on, without projecting anything. This is what we need to do with the UFO phenomenon. We need to look at the patterns without saying, oh, it's good or bad, evil, it's this. There's patterns that are showing up that are observing, are observable, and people are witnessing and having experiences. We need to have a collective global conversation about that so we can make sense of this unknown phenomena without jumping to conclusions, without creating another mythology. Oh, yeah, I'm Arcturi, I'm Pleiadian. That's a mythology. It's not, some people get attached to it, but it doesn't mean anything. In order to develop meaning, like Viktor Frankl said, if you've Man's Search for Meaning, which is a fantastic book, we need to know how to relate to it. And we relate to something by the effects it produces and how present we can stay as we connect to this phenomenon. So yeah, it can traumatize people because they don't know what it is. But if you stand in the center of who you are, as an infinite being, the trauma will pass through you because you'll realize you can meet these beings on an equal playing field, and they're not greater than us. They may be smarter, they may have greater technologies, but the soul essence, I think, this is just my opinion, is equal to whatever we are, and I think that's what they're trying to show us by not taking over, by not... they're over nuclear power plants and weapons locations and shutting off the nuclear code. So deactivating and also activating sometimes nuclear code, because I think they're not going to save us from ourselves, but they probably won't let us destroy the whole planet.
I agree.
We need, though, to, if we have free will, start to use it, because most people that say they have free will are really automatic. They're really unautomatic. To have free will is to wake up out of your automatic behavior and say, wait, I'm going to be responsible here. I'm not going to throw that away, whatever. I mean, but, there was a woman in New York who would have zero waste. She was like an incredible person. Like fill up her toothpaste tube. She'd carry her zero waste. I think she must still be around, but it's truly an amazing model for the future of humanity. Because, nothing is wasted in the indigenous cultures and in Native American culture. Mm-hmm. Everything was used.
Mm-hmm.
What why isn't that true? You know, you throw away a computer, that just like, you know, I don't know. But it's the capitalist American system. You buy something right. new. This is the dogma. So people say, think that's free will. No,
things are not being made to last as much anymore as well.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, there's so much that we have to grow up and meet the others. Let's really meet these beings on an even playing field. Yes. Let's meet them from a responsible place of what it is to be human and compassionate, loving, and meet these other beings who might be equal to that. People fear the unknown, but they're just projecting the known onto the unknown. I don't think there's anything to fear about these beings because they're showing us what's possible for who we are.
Absolutely. And if there's anything to fear, they would have shown us already. They would have hurt us already.
Mm-hmm. And they're just being very, some people have had traumatic moments. But, you know, that's because people are so locked in their own egoic sense of self.
As something we have a fear filter. Yeah.
The fear filter is the world is not what you think it is. And suddenly, when it's not, they call that ontological shock, because we so identify with the labels of the world. When the world starts to dissolve, then we don't know who we are because our identity is mixed up with the world out there. But the identity is an internal thing. It's a sense of self.
Right. Yeah.
Very angelic.
Yes. Yes, it is. And the angelic frequency and the extraterrestrial frequency and the human frequency, it's really all the same. And we're just remembering that it's all love. Take the labels away. It's all love.
Well, it can be all love. I don't know if the human
frequency. We're remembering it.
Well, yes, we are love. I agree with you. Yeah. But I don't know why people don't. Why is it, Rachel, that people don't remember their love?
Oh, because we've been told for so long that we're not worthy. And that love is merit-based and all of these reasons, but we're stripping all of that away.
So how do we change it, though? How do we strip it away? How do we make people know that they're loved?
Well, conversations like this, where we get to emulate, you know, I believe that you and I being able to speak authentically about subjects like this that used to be taboo and shame-oriented, that this, for example, I feel is very healing. You and I are talking about something that, you know, in another lifetime, you and I would have had this conversation in an attic or a basement. Look,
really?
We're having
what
it on
you
a program.
Say that was so dangerous. I don't I mean, people say that.
Well, maybe
but
not dangerous, but maybe our families wouldn't have allowed it. Maybe a party was happening and we would have brought shame to our families.
But I mean, I know that's true, but I don't understand it. I don't understand what would be shameful. Well, maybe going against religion and all that. Right. Or whatever dogma people have about their belief systems.
Right.
But
Alan, how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, well, they can get my book on Amazon. Here it is. Make contact.
Love it.
Anyway.
It's yummy.
And they can look at my YouTube channel. I do like a program at least once or twice a week. That's youtube.com/newrealities. They can look at my website, realities.com. They can look at my Instagram, Alan_Steinfeld. Let's see, what else do I have? My Facebook. A million ways. You know, there's a million ways.
Good. You can always find us. Same with me, everybody. RachelCorpus.com, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Next week, we're going to talk about quantum entanglement, your blueprint, and how to make the matrix your bitch.
Love. Who are you talking about? Who's that?
That's me. I nerd out about that stuff. And let's just have a little puff puff.
What are we puff puffing?
This is Rose and Mugwort. Love you all. Keep that halo straight. Thank you, Alan. God bless you.
Let the light come in. No perfect questions, no polished disguise, just real.
Lives all on the show today.